Unplayable by Simon Ray. Read by Michael Simpkins. Chapter 1. Tom had a freak accident. Except he wasn't sure how much of an accident it was. He got scrunched going for a header by Devlin and Sherwin. They'd been after him all term, and when Mr. Giles made him play lone striker, with the two of them in midfield on the other side, he feared the worst. "Good cross! Jump, Tom, jump!" Mr. Giles had shouted. Up he went, and that was fine. He even got his head to the ball. It was when he came down that things went wrong. Devlin and Sherwin moved in from either side. There was a sickening crack, and Tom was left writhing on the ground, clutching his right shoulder. "Sorry, Mr. Giles. Is it bad?" Even through the intense pain, Tom felt the insincerity in Devlin's voice. "We didn't mean to," that was Sherwin. Tom was quite sure it was a lie, but at least he sounded genuinely sorry. He didn't remember a great deal more. Realising it was bad, really bad, Mr. Giles opted to drive him to accident and emergency himself rather than wait for an ambulance. "Nasty, rough game," said Dr. Gupta, as he looked at the X-ray photographs on the backlit screen. "That, my friend, is going to take a lot of work." "Would it take a long time?" Tom asked, thinking quite optimistically of the time off school. "Weeks, I'm afraid," said Dr. Gupta. "But don't worry. Mr. McCulloch is one of the best in the business. He'll get you right. Just in time for the cricket season. Now there is a civilised game." Mr. McCulloch was older than Dr. Gupta and had sprouty white hair. Tom had been worried that he wasn't a proper doctor because he was a mister. But his father explained that surgeons were always called mister, and that Mr. McCulloch would certainly be up to the task of putting his shoulder right. Tom found his eyes irresistibly drawn to Mr. McCulloch's eyebrows, which climbed like a thicket above each eye. You could, he found himself thinking, actually rest a pencil across them. "Right, laddie," he said, with just a hint of a Scottish accent. "Let's see what you've been doing to yourself, shall we?" He turned to the bulky brown folder in front of him and pulled out an envelope containing the X-rays. He walked over to his backlit screen. Once again, Tom looked at the ghostly pictures of his shoulder. You didn't have to be any sort of a medical expert to see that the damage was severe and complicated.
They did a job on you, didn't they? The two of them.
Mr. McCulloch looked round at Tom.
Now promise me this, laddie. Now when I've done this work on this shoulder of yours, take up a sensible game. Like cricket. Will you do that for me?
Tom nodded his head, and Mr. McCulloch smiled encouragingly at him.
Good. Yeah, we'll have you fixed up. Better even than before. But you'll have to be patient. I cannot work miracles. At least, not overnight.
Of course, Mr. McCulloch wanted to see his wonderful job for himself, and Tom had to go to the hospital a few more times before the final appointment, at which the smiling surgeon said,
"Well, laddie, do you feel fit to go back to school?"
Tom nodded his head vigorously.
"All right, then. But you must be extremely careful. I put my best effort into that."
He pointed at Tom's shoulder.
"And I don't want you coming back here with it damaged again."
He gave Tom a big grin, and his eyebrows appeared to do a miniature Mexican wave. Tom gave a shy smile back. They both stood up, and Mr. McCulloch extended a large hand with a lot of white hairs on the back. Tom put out his, and they shook hands.
"It didn't hurt, did it?"
Mr. McCulloch asked anxiously.
"No,"
said Tom.
"Good man," said Mr. McCulloch. "Now off you go and get on with the rest of your life. Don't forget the exercises the physio has taught you. And you should be fit and raring to go by the start of the cricket season."
On the morning he went back to school, Tom found he was nervous, which was ridiculous. He'd been going there for years. He had lots of friends. And he'd been looking forward to going back for weeks, if only to end the boredom of being at home. So why the butterflies in the stomach as he walked in through the gates? It wasn't till break that he had the answer.
"Hey, man!"
A face appeared out of the throng. It was Sherwin's, grinning broadly.
Well, look who it is, said another voice, just as familiar.
At the same time, someone barged him hard from the right. He gave an involuntary cry and put his left hand up to his shoulder. This brought him face to face with Devlin.
Sorry, pal, Devlin sneered, looking meaningfully at Tom's protective hand. Still a bit tender, is it? Ah, perhaps you should go home and do a bit more malingering.
Devlin moved his face a lot closer to Tom's, his upper lip curled, his eyebrows raised in mock interrogation. Tom took a step back, but found his way blocked by Sherwin. Devlin held his stare for an uncomfortable length of time.
Catch you later, pal,
Devlin snarled, before turning on his heel and barging his way through the throng to his next lesson. Sherwin shouldered his way after him.
You all right?
Tom looked down.
It was Little Paul. I saw what happened, said Little Paul. We could report it if you liked.
Tom shook his head. It would only make things worse. Don't worry, he said. But thanks. What have we got next? I've forgotten the timetable.
Maths, said Little Paul.
Tom groaned.
Come and sit next to me. I'll help you catch up.
Thanks, said Tom. Little Paul was the best at maths in their year. Tom had a lot of catching up to do. He seemed to have missed a lot in all subjects, and also to have lost ground in other ways. He was slower on the uptake than before, as though all that daytime television had somehow made him stupid. But friends helped him out by letting him copy their notes, and Little Paul made it a personal mission to bring his maths up to scratch. It wasn't long before Tom was completely back in the school routine. As the weeks passed, the days grew longer and warmer. The endless winter was drawing to a close.
Walk home,
Little Paul said to Tom one Thursday afternoon.
Sure,
said Tom. I've just got to go to the library.
Let's go the back way. I'll meet you by the pavilion.
See you there, said Tom, and went off to get his books. By the time he got outside, the crowds had thinned out. But as he walked down the asphalt path, he heard the clacking of studs behind him. Suddenly, he was reeling from a blow to the back of the head.
Skiving again, Tomo.
Tom turned. It was Devlin in his football gear, spinning the ball that he had bounced on the back of Tom's head on the tip of his finger. There were a number of other boys standing around, including Sherwin. They were all grinning.
What did you do that for?
Tom asked, still rubbing his head.
Oh, so you've got the use of your arm back then,
Devlin observed. He then slipped the football under his left arm and made a feint with his right. Tom backed away.
Scaredy cat. If you ever fancy seeing whether that arm of yours is fit for purpose, you know what you can do.
Come on, you boys, what's the hold-up?
Mr. Giles trotted up in his tracksuit.
Oh, it's you, Thomas. How's that shoulder of yours?
Fine, said Tom.
I'm glad to hear it, said Mr. Giles. Thinking about the option for the summer term? Track and field, perhaps? You'd be just right for the high jump with those long legs of yours.
Yeah, sneered Devlin. Something nice and cushy, like jumping into a sandpit.
At least he'd be able to get off the ground, Mr. Giles said with a glance at Devlin's large stomach.
There was dutiful laughter from the group, and Devlin went slightly red and scowled.
I'm going to play cricket.
It was a simple sentence, but it hung in the air like a challenge. It was a moment before Tom realised he had said it. He was as surprised as everybody else. Devlin gave him a sharp look.
Cricket? You?
You hear that, Sherwin? The beanstalk's going to play cricket.
Bring it on.
And with that, Devlin turned and resumed his steady jog, followed by the other footballers. Mr. Giles paused to say,
Cricket?
Well, why not?
Well, put you down for it.
Well done, Tom.
And then he sped off to catch up with the boys, his whistle swinging round his neck.
What's up?
Little Paul asked as soon as he saw Tom's face.
I've said I'm going to play cricket next term. Oh, that's great,
exclaimed Little Paul, who was the school scorer.
Is it?
Said Tom.
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure at all. But I can't do anything about it now. I've told Mr. Giles.